Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Before we get started, let me pray for myself and all of us here today. God, I thank you, God, for every heart in this place. That God, you'll just use me today to, you know, I know you dropped this word on me, and God, open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we receive every morsel and nugget that we need in our life to apply this so we could be the greatest version of ourselves that you inspired us to be, God, to change the world and make your name famous. God, we thank you today for your word. We stand on it because we know it's true. In your son's name we pray, amen. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. You guys take a seat. I do want to honor Pastor Juergen and Leanne. They're on their 25th wedding anniversary cruise. They just landed in Germany like an hour ago, and he got some schnitzel, and he said, God is good. And so we just want to keep them in our prayers as they just get refreshed. It's kind of perfect timing with kind of my message today. You know, and the title of it is Rest is Your Weapon. And I tell you that because I'm going to speak out of my own experience this morning of just kind of where I've been, what I've been through. You know, I'm kind of a full throttle guy. And I'm telling you, this message came out of fruit in my life. Rest is a weapon. Man, that's serious. Is that a grenade? Only our media team puts together the most epic stuff. They always make you look better. I love the skinny filter. When I see myself later, I'm like, yeah, that looks good. I need that filter all the time, so thank you. Let's give it up for our media team. They do a great job. I'm telling you what. Man, I'll send them pictures, quotes, everything. They never say, oh, man, that's too many. They say, yes, sir, let's do this. So it's always good to have a team behind you. I want to just honor. Here we got Risen Magazine. Right here in the front row, we have the Camesas that put together this magazine. If you've never picked it up, it's the most largely distributed Christian magazine in the world. And I'm telling you, what I want to show you right here is my good friend Morgan Irvin has a full write-up. It says, more than recovery, he's been redeemed. This is about a guy that was living a crazy lifestyle, found God, found his purpose, is the main, he plays Jesus in our hero production. He's an immense emerge captain and married, never thought he wanted to ever be married, has two beautiful kids, and talk about a redeeming God. This story, it's unbelievable. And this is out there getting to the secular world. People picking up this magazine because it's fresh, real, and powerful. And if you've never read it, I encourage you, get digital copies. Go make sure they're blessed, because here's the thing, they can do more things when they're out there promoting the word and the gospel through an incredible work of media art like this. Let's make sure as a church we get behind Risen Magazine. And thank you guys for being here. I know we did it last week, but you know, too many people don't get behind the right stuff. You know, we just get behind stuff without a purpose. So I'm committed to get behind the right stuff with a purpose. So, hey, you guys are awesome. Let's give it up for the incredible worship team. Next level, I'm telling you. Oh, man. So I'm reading out of 1 Kings chapter 19. And just to pre-frame it for you guys, just to kind of understand it, my background was I was just this hungry chiropractor. Just said, that's it. I'm going to crush it. And that was my whole thing. And that was pretty good. I was passionate about it. I believed in it. My brother, who's in our Navy 19 years, so he just came out and hung out with the weekend, just got back from deployment. So if you're in the military in this place, I just want to honor you. Sometimes we forget the sacrifices being made. So thank you. And if your spouse is away, let's just make sure as a church we get behind it. Our pastor from day one, he was more passionate about our military and our country than some even Americans. I'm like, man, who is this Aussie guy? And I was like, man, he's just putting on a show. He knows how. No, sold out. I mean, just sold out for this country, and I love it. And he gives all his Aussie friends flack. He goes, don't ever call me. I'm an American now. Come on. So I love that. And, you know, so I've just got to watch and observe. And back in the day when I wasn't full throttle in church, I was all about personal development. And I was all about, you know, can I crush it? Can I 10X it? You know, Gary Vaynerchuk's my hero, minus the F-bombs. Way too many. And if you don't know who he is, just don't worry about it. All right, just read your Bible. All right. And Grant Cardone, you know, all these guys that are online that are just telling you that you got to crush it in life, that you got to do these things. And what I watched myself when I got into practice was here I was crushing it, head down, tail up, which I believe in hard work. And I don't want to abdicate responsibility, like take a siesta. Okay, I am all about hard work. I literally, my whole thing is nobody's tired on the day of victory. You know, I used to hand out straws and tell people to suck it up in my practice. It's true. Don't judge me. You know, since becoming a pastor, I only do it once a week now. It was 5 days a week before. But I'm telling you, sometimes we can get in this thing where we just think, you know, I'm a Christian. Things are going to start floating my way. But still, we got to get behind the plow, and hard work is big. But I do want to teach you the difference between what the world teaches and what the Bible teaches. And I had major revelation about this thing, especially when I was starting my goal setting. So I teach goal setting a couple times a year, online kind of thing. And I'll never forget, I was in prayer one time, and God says, if you're going to teach it, you might as well teach it the way I want you, and you better put it in there, honor my Sabbath. I was like, yeah, whatever that means. And then he started to show me things, and this context is really what came out of me going into study, what God said about what he can do with us when we start to put kingdom principles above the world, because the world is just work and grind it out until you're done. And I've seen more of my mentors in burnout, which have just devastated me because I love them, but I know they didn't understand the principles God's given us. And that's what I want to get into today. So let me give you some background real quick, just so you understand why I'm so passionate about it. Is that number one, our culture, the United States of America, is in the largest state. We have more burnout or more people going to a counselor or a psychologist for depression than anywhere else in the world. Americans. Yet we live in the greatest country in the world. Yet part of it is they almost make it like candy. So now 59% of Americans, 1 out of 6, they say, are on antidepressants. So it's not like you were born and God said, oh man, I forgot to put an antidepressant on the inside of them. But what has happened, we've gotten this culture where we're grinding and grinding and grinding and doing it. And we as men want to be the provider, yet burnout is happening at a rate we've never seen before. It's funny because they've looked at these other studies, even these young millennials, which is, I think, 84 up until whenever, they're saying that they're having more issues in marriage because they're grinding it out so much that they can't be fulfilling their wife because they're totally adrenal fatigued due to stress. So I have all these studies, but out of the AMA and out of JAMA, the Journal of American Medical Association, November of 2015, the results say 59%, and it goes up by 3% every year, measuring every 2 years. So 6% a year, medications go up, just on this principle. Instead of getting to the point where, hey, what's the solution? Let's just mask it with more stuff so you don't have to deal with the real stuff. And it's actually not that complicated, because God gives it all through his principle and right out of this teaching with Elijah himself that we're about to get into. But two reasons that we're in number one burnout is lack of rest and lack of protecting the temple. So I'm not trying to get up here and preach to you as a chiropractor in the health field, but I'm an expert at that point. Okay, this is all I deal with. And then for God to give me a word on top of it, oh man, Lord help me. So don't worry. On the points you think I'm really going to crush, I won't. I'll just let you go read about it because there's enough out there. But here's what happened. I used to have on my phone this image called Beast Mode. I think we have it. maybe. Oh, right here. So every time my alarm would go on, I'd look at my phone, beast mode on. I'd wake up and I'd be like, let's do this. I'm about to crush it. I'm gonna go. Babe, don't talk to me. I'll be in my workout. So I would just go crush, 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 crush all day long. I go to Tuesday morning prayer. I'd be like, God, come on, give me a word. Come on, beast mode is on. Give me a word. And this is no joke. This happened 2013, Tuesday morning prayer. God says, I can't give you a word because you got beast mode on. You don't even make room for me because all you are is beast mode. So I got a little convicted. I'm like, yeah, well, whatever. You've told me to dominate, take dominion. I keep going to emerge. I just want to, you know, I'm about to win the championship this next year. What's the point if I don't got beast mode on? He goes, well, when you have beast mode on, it's all about you. And when you want to see what I can do in your life, here's what I want for you. And this is the image you gave me immediately. Be still. I literally put this image on my phone and it changed my life. How can you say one image changed my life? You know how I can say it? It's crazy. Get this. Get ready. Because it did. I don't want to hyper-spiritualize anything today, but I do want to say a simple text screen on my phone, because how many know we look at our phones more than anything? Come on. Except my wife on date night. Okay, never mind. Some of you need to know that. Leave your phone at home on date night. It's so important. You can check Instagram later. But I'll tell you, I went from beast mode on to be still, and I started hearing from the Lord. You know what I started hearing from the Lord is? Do this business, don't do this one. I want you to create this journal. You don't need to waste your time over there. My mind mastery cards, my goal setting journals, my success, all my stuff came the minute I went to be still. Because you know why? I made room for God to start speaking to me and to said, what was I gonna do on my own effort, my own work, if you will. And then God started to paint this whole picture. If more of my church would learn to be still, I could do more with you. So the amazing revelation came. All right, God, you got to take me through your word and give me some revelation on that. Because honestly, where does it say that besides commandment number 4? Because, you know, I'm kind of a little rebel. Hence, I named my kid Maverick. I don't want to be, but that's just how it rolls. Like, if you're going to be a chiropractor, you got to be a rebel. You know, you just can't listen to all this. You're doing your own thing, little black sheep. I grew up a little black sheep. My parents would say we're going to church. I just only went to honor them. You know, I grew up, my dad was a Marine, man. You honor that man, okay? Don't talk back your mom. Do what I say until you're 18. And it's funny, when I was 18, I still did what they said. It's amazing the power of suggestion. So several months ago, see, in my world, I kept having conversations with my friends that at 10 years in my field, they would get burned out looking for the next best thing. I might as well be suddenly a real estate advisor. Or, you know, it's like until I went by Trader Joe's one time and I saw my old colleague bagging my groceries. It's happened to multiple people. And then when I stepped out even into ministry, the number one conversation I have outside of C3 pastors is ministry burnout. It's the same thing. And in business, no matter what it is, I wrote this stat down. It's not like pastors have the monopoly on burnout. It's actually, I've seen it in fields, nurses, doctors. I mean, I take care of so many people. And the number one thing, I can tell they're stressed out, they're burned out. And then I see their health start being affected, their relationships being affected, to the point where I said, babe, we gotta make sure our date night is sacred. Because we could just get so busy, we're like two ships passing in the night. Then I said, you know what, when we have kids, we got to make a family morning date. So we started carving out time. We do waffles and King's Craft coffee every Thursday morning. That's our thing for our family. I'm telling you, the world can get us so hyped up, so driven by success, we miss what's right in front of us. So Time Magazine did this thing I thought was amazing. It's called The Decade from Hell. It's a real thing. I'm not making it up. Started with 9/11, went up through the Great Recession, and they say still today, because of the fear of 9/11, the fear of our little depression, you know, that we went through, that what happens is it's still lingering today, and our kids that are maybe in their teenage years, okay, are picking up what our parents were speaking about, and now that is their belief system that they're anchored in for today. So we don't have the same struggles we did after 9/11 or even up until then. So then we have a catastrophe like Harvey, Hurricane Harvey. What it does is physiologically, for those kids that were teenagers and junior highers back in the 2007s, 8s, and 9s, are now emotionally affected every time there's a trauma that goes on in the States due to what our parents were speaking 10 years ago. The neurological feedback, all these studies on it are saying now just a word on the news that's negative triggers this emotion, fear anchors, and then what we do is we produce cortisol, we get stressed out, and our brain takes a left turn. So I tell you this, that we have set up major core values in our house, like we don't watch the news. I don't buy a newspaper anymore. I turned off all news feeds on my phone because the minute I remember 9/11, I remember all these things, but I don't want to be triggered to fear. I want to be triggered to faith. So every time my phone is on, be still triggers me to faith, not beast mode where I think I have to do it in my own accord, burn out my adrenal glands, lose my rest, fire my sympathetics, and next thing you know, I'm unhealthy. I can't lose weight. My metabolism's off, whatever it may be. Number one signs and symptoms of when we're under stress. So just to paint this quick picture, and then we'll get right into the story of Elijah. By the way, J becomes for the S. That's how I figured it out. Elisha, just helping you out. It's Bible 101. I couldn't even, like 10 years into the Bible, I'm like, was it Elijah or Elisha? Okay, who came first, chicken or the egg? Listen, J before the S. That's breakthrough for somebody right there. Do you feel that anointed? No, okay, fine. Tough crowd. So get this, when I was 26, I graduated school, I remember screaming out, I'm not ready. I mean, I gotta go in the real world. I gotta actually be responsible for stuff. 28, I had my first business, like responsible one, not like mowing lawns, not bartending, not valet, even those are great. I had my own things like, oh my gosh, people are responsible, I'm paying a check to somebody, that's so freaky. Okay, I kept telling God I'm not ready. Age, 30 something, I got married. 35 and 38, I had kids. I kept saying I'm not ready. Then I was president of my profession. I was definitely not ready. And then at 40, Pastor Juergen's telling me all these crazy things, like you're gonna be pastor in church. I'm like, who are you? I'm not ready. Come on, man, I'll just do a service or something. Next thing you know, I was. Said I wasn't ready. Then we're pastoring a church. I'm not ready. How many know we're never ready? Does anybody else feel? Come on. I'm the only one that's never ready. So I always tell my wife, if you ever see me missing, I'm either in Mexico somewhere, except my brother just this weekend advised me, don't go. Or my river house. And God showed me years ago the importance of me investing in a place that I can hide. I didn't know why at the time until this study. You gotta have your safe, Pastor John preached a message years ago called your drop zone, where to go and find your drop zone so you can pray. I need my place so I can go around to be refreshed, where my phone's not gonna blow up, emails aren't gonna hit me. Sometimes I know that even though I say a thing, I can turn my phone on. How many know at my river house, you don't got no cell phone service. You just got you, the river, and my beautiful wife. Makes it nice. Okay, but that's what I have to do. I always tell my wife, if I go missing due to stress, you know where I'll be. Because that's where I get refreshed and refreshed. So that story reminds me of this exact thing, I'm not ready, or I'm gonna go hide somewhere. Because Elijah he had a freak out moment. He was in his greatest victory, okay, just defeated this 450 prophets of Baal. It was gnarly, okay? It's like the Super Bowl of just getting kicked in, and you could be in deep trouble. And here he was in the greatest victory. It was like a showdown, and he wins 400, he whoops them, okay? Greatest victory. And next thing you know, the queen Jezebel says, I'm coming after you, and I'm gonna kill you. Sends a messenger to tell him this. See, she didn't have the guts herself to come tell him, because how many know she was afraid because of what he just did? But in the moment of greatest victory, a messenger comes. It's like the devil comes. We could have our greatest victories in life, and the next day the devil comes, and then all of a sudden we go to fear due to programming, and next thing you know, he runs far away and just says, that's it, take me, I want to die. Here's the expert. It's out of 1 Kings 19, 3-4. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. Hey, that's where my river house is, in the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat under it, and he prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said, take my life. I mean, how do you go from taking down the enemy, your greatest day of victory, and the next thing you know, you're in total fear, running because of a message that you heard, sitting under a tree, burned out, freaked out, and yet, what are you to do? So this whole thing is, we find Elijah in the wilderness, freaked out and fearful. What did he do? Because the reason why he was there was due to burnout. That's the reason why he was there. He was freaked out due to fear, and he was burned out, and he says, that's it. I'm done with ministry. I'm done with this work. I cannot handle the pressure. I'll see you later. And he took off, and he's just saying, God, take me. But how many know he was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament? How many know he never died? He just got taken with Enoch straight to heaven because he was faithful to God. But yet, even the most faithful, one of the most powerful prophets of the Old Testament, had a moment of burnout. And yet, how are we as Christians going to think we could be above that? It's so important to understand. And this is what he did. Tired, stressed, burned out, fatigue, no energy, overeating, drinking, sexual addictions. This is what I love, shopping, escapism. Escapism is the newest term that they're worried about the millennials and this generation. If you don't know what escapism is, it's mindless activities. So one of them they say is gaming. It's mindless, but you don't get rest. What's amazing is social media can be the same thing. How many know you're just like, I'm gonna go to the restroom. 2 hours later, you can't feel your legs and you're scrolling like. I mean, that's not me. I was reading about this doing research. It's research, people. I'm just saying, social media, you don't realize you've been on the thing for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I got up to do a devotional the other morning and I see someone's like, oh, they liked your post. Next thing I'm like, oh, really? Oh, look at that one. Oh, that's amazing. I'm scrolling. I'm like, I got up for a devotional. I had to turn all my alerts off. Bing. Oh, wait, my wife's at Nordstrom. Bing, it's on the top of my feed. She just spent $168. What? Ruined my devotion. I had to pray for myself. But listen, it's the newest form of a stress release, but it doesn't give you rest. So some of you sitting right now, you're under your own tree. This is the way it is in life. We're under our own tree. We're stressed. And if you're not sitting in there today, sooner or later you will be. Unless we find out what is God revealing the things to do to help either be preventative, proactive, or how do we heal to get back to wholeness? Because how many know Elijah needed to get healed to get back to wholeness so he can continue on with the mission that God and the purposes of God that he had for him. So Elijah eventually recovered. This is how. See, on this journey from burnout to recovery, here's the six things I figured out. And listen, I promised myself I would not pull a Pastor Juergen and give you three of the six. But, so I'm not going to give you three. I'm going to give you two of the six. No, I'm just joking. I'm going to give you all six because I'll feel guilty. Because my number one thing is, like, I can't even concentrate on the rest of the message until I know at least the other points. Because here's the truth. Even if I give you the points, how many can go study the Word? Thank you. Do I have your commitment? You will go read 1 Kings chapter 19. Good. Then I'm going to give you my six real quick, and I'm going to go unpackage this thing. So really, oh my gosh, this is why we're doing the Back to Church series. This is like, we need to come to church just to hear these principles because the world's not going to teach you this. They're going to teach you all about 10 accident and crushing and all those things. I want you to get this. So number one, Elijah took time off. And I got, look at that, four pages, Elijah took time off. Okay, number two, Elijah took care of his body. Number three, you're gonna have to podcast it then. Number two, Elijah took care of his body. Number three, Elijah found strength from the Lord. Number four, Elijah got help from others. Oh yeah, he did. Can't do it alone. And number five, Elijah adjusted his attitude. Some of you need a little attitude adjustment. Number six, Elijah returned to his purpose. Okay, here we go. You ready? All right. All right. So here's what I've learned. This is the number one thing. That whole be still thing came out of 1 Kings 19, 3 through 4, where he was talking about, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that the Lord might take him and die. And then in the next one, as he was sleeping, an angel came to him and touched him. How many know that angel was with him the whole time? How many know that God is with you all the time? And if you don't, I'm here to tell you, God is with you all the time. Whether you're feeling stressed or burned out or not, he is with you. Sometimes we just got to call upon him and not wait until we're in this desperate situation. So he rested. He arose and he ate, and then he went out for 40 days and 40 nights, even further. And then in chapter 8, so he rose and he ate and he drank, and he went into the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and he went to rest. Okay, some of us in this first thing just need to understand we got to take a break. God teaches us to do a Sabbath. I promise you, I can teach an entire message on the importance of Sabbath. But being kind of that rebel that I told you about with, sometimes you look at the Ten Commandments and think, oh my gosh, why is he giving all this law? But it's actually not like that. The Ten Commandments are set up to protect you and I. It's not to hinder you. Oh, God's a ball and chain. Religion is a corrupt. You know, it's none of that. It's actually to set you up from self-destruction. So every symptom that we have going on from burnout is because sometimes we have even forgot to honor the Sabbath. And I'm telling you, I don't want to get in a theological discussion. Does the Sabbath on a Saturday or Sunday? Does it matter? Like, we don't need to go down that road, but we do need to know, what does a Sabbath look like to you, and do you have one? Is it a day off from your job where you put a paycheck in and you just take the honey-do list? Is it a day where you feel like, oh, I don't have time to rest? It's almost like the principle of tithing. You know what? I don't even have enough for myself to give. I have to keep all 100. But how many know the principles of giving? If you sow the 10, you get blessed on the 90. Same principle with time. You give up a day and you get blessed the 6 days. So in that, it's the fourth commandment. We think it's a law, but it's set up for our success. There's 72 verses just on rest in the Bible. Even the 23rd Psalm. Anybody know it? Come on, verses 2 and 3. I'm gonna lay down in green pastures. It's so important to know that all through the Bible, God is talking and emphasizing that we need to rest. We need to take a Selah, a breath. Because that's when he can speak to you. That's when he can show you things. That's when he can reveal things to you. And a whole day of it, it's funny where we think we're losing a day, we're actually gaining a day. It's funny because if you don't believe it, the world believes it. So I have all these studies, 4 pages. They call it cerebral congestion. So I read all these psychological papers. Dr. Dan Murphy, a good mentor of Dr. Kevin Deddy and I, he was blowing my email up with article after article on what your brains happen when you start firing from beta to theta waves and alpha waves, and how if you don't rest, you'll operate in the shallow waves that actually don't allow you to get REM sleep. And when you don't get your REM sleep, you can't be refreshed. And then we get things like cerebral congestion. How many have that? Yep. Okay, we don't want you to raise your hand for that. It said this, when you go on a long retreat, like there's a base level of mental tension and busyness that you totally evaporates. This psychologist says, I call that my mind being not full. Many people practice this in meditation or prayer. And the reason why the world can go to meditation is because they see the physiological benefits. But yet Christians suddenly go, oh, did they say yoga? That's weird. Listen, let's just not get weird. Let's understand that meditation can save our life. Prayer, meditation, it's resting to get rid of mental congestion so you can hear from the Lord again about the purposes and plans that he has for you, because he says in his word that he does. But how come we're not living those out? It's because sometimes we've got so busy, we forgot, oh yeah, what am I doing? How many of you know, it's like, can you believe, this is no joke. Literally, it's September 2017. I was just setting goals in January. I'm looking at my little girl going to her first day of school. I'm like, what is going on? Slow it down. It's like, oh my goodness. So articles go on. Days off. If you increase days off, you decrease meds you need. In the Netherlands, get this. In the United States, there's no like mandatory day off. But in Europe, 20 days mandatory off. In the Netherlands, 26. Lowest rates of medications, stress, burnout, and suicide rates in the world. Correlation? I think there might be. They say increase days off, decrease mental afflictions. We can't blame everything on a demon. I mean, back in the day, man, I got saved. I started going to deliverance. I'm reading all these bombs. Oh, everything's a demon. That girl just took my parking spot. She's demonic. I'm going to pray for her right now. I'm not leaving Trader Joe's until she gets out. There's going to be a deliverance right up in here. No. How many know she's just got mental congestion? Didn't even see me waiting there for 3 minutes and then swooped me. She's just got a lot on her mind as she got out with her four kids. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's some fatigue going on. There's a book called Breaking the Habit of Being You. The related research has said that the default mode network, it's more active, but it said this. They say, I love this, studies have demonstrated that mind obliquely solves tough problems while daydreaming, an experience many people have had while taking a shower. Epiphanies may seem to come out of nowhere, but they're often a product of unconscious mental activity during downtime and rest. Study after study, so much more. I could just keep going, but I want you to get more things here. Last one. Most of us have observed how after a good night's sleep, vocab words we struggled to remember the previous day suddenly leap into our minds, or that technically challenging piano song is much easier to play after a day of rest. Memory depends on your sleep and your rest. I love this. I want to find this one thing. Psychologists establish vacation, real benefits. Oh, who cares about that? Where's the good one? I love this. As far back as the first century BC, the Romans regularly took mid-afternoon breaks that they called merididerae, from the Latin word for midday. Under the influence of Roman Catholicism, noon became known as sexta, the sixth hour, according to their clocks, a time for rest and prayer. Eventually, that word morphed into siesta. It's amazing that so many cultures have practiced this, and it started out of understanding the Word of God. And yet we get so busy, we forgot where all that siesta comes from. Because sometimes, how many, this is me, I'm just speaking to myself. Sometimes when I've taken that Sabbath, the devil gets in my ear and I feel guilty that I'm taking time down when I could be crushing it, when I could be doing it. But tell me, that's a lie from the devil. And I don't want you ever to think that you just line up this word and it's all about taking a rest, taking that Sabbath and honoring it. That's point number one. Point number two, Elijah took care of his body. If you look in 5-8, it goes on to say, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. How many know food matters? It does. So he arose and he ate and he drank. And then he went on the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. Sometimes we just brush it off, but if you look at this text carefully, he slept, he ate, and he exercised. He goes on, he went for a long walk. Sometimes we forget these things. I'm just trying to make it, it's like, I'm the Forrest Gump of preaching right now. He ate, he drank, he rested, and exercised. 4 points. I don't need to give you any more because, you know, as my profession, I totally could. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, and sometimes we forget to take care of the temple. I had this revelation years ago. This guy in my practice came to church, got radically healed of low back pain. Radically healed. He was a large man. And I said, man, you got to lose some LBs, brother. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And he literally went on, injured himself again, got another miraculous healing. I mean, this thing disc issue like crazy. And if you don't know what that is, that just means pain down here and it's not your wife. That was a joke. Oh, seriously? C3, just so you know if you're new, could have been new. We're a church that believes that you can have fun, all right? That was actually really fun. I felt for a second a little Presbyterian on me. Hey, don't get mad at that. My uncle's amazing Presbyterian pastor. He listens to all these podcasts. Uncle Doug, I love you, man. So listen, right there, we got to understand functional movement. Motion is the key to life. A clear and balanced nervous system. Drink your body weight, half your body weight in water. I'm just giving you the basics here. Eat right for your blood type, okay? And don't get adrenal fatigue. If you get adrenal fatigue, you're hosed for a while, unless, you know, then you'll need a miracle. But when you get your miracle, guess how many know that you got to do your part afterwards? This dude finally, after the third time of getting healed, he's like, I think I need to lose some weight. That's revelation, brother. I'm glad you got that. And guess what? He did. Never had a problem since. But what I'm saying is we got to do our part. And God's given us an instruction manual all throughout it. I mean, I don't care if you go paleo. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just telling you what you eat matters. What you do matters. We have to exercise. We got to live life. We got to honor the temple. Elijah took care of his body. Number three, Elijah found strength in the Lord. In 19:9. He says, and there went into a cave and he spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed the prophets with the sword. I alone am left and they seek to take my life. He got time with the Lord. See, the Lord came to visit him while he was in that cave. He cried out to the Lord answered. And he said, what are you doing here? And then he went on to minister to him in the next couple verses. And it's so important. Down to 11, he said, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. We have to be still, withstand the storm. And listen to what God is telling us. But unless you can learn to chill out a second and be still, what are you listening for? I learned that personally. Lack of rest, all these studies. To get to wholeness, we need to rely on the Lord. This study, this whole psychological study went into this saying, lack of rest leads to isolation. How many people that just get isolated, that take themselves out, maybe missing from church, missing from connect group? You don't know, but fear and stress and anxiety makes a person isolate themselves. They don't want to, but they don't know how to ask for help. It's amazing. So many times when I'm counseling people, the number one thing is just, I didn't know. I didn't know how to reach out. I didn't know how to ask for help. You know, when we lose connection with people, we then isolate ourselves. But if you have someone calling you accountability, that's why it's so important to be in men's prayer, which means to this next point is Elijah got help from others. In chapter 19, verse 16 and 21, it sets him up for one, he's asking the Lord for help. But then he went and found Elisha to come beside him, to do the work of the ministry. He realized he couldn't do the job alone. He needed help from other people. So he enlisted the support of another prophet named Elisha. To be whole. All of us need strength for our relationships with others. I couldn't do church unless I had great friendships. I'm telling you, great friendships, they're just not gonna come find you. You go find them. And if everyone says, I make a commitment today that I'm gonna find some great relationships, you'll find each other. And I'm telling you, how do you do it? Let's start off with men's prayer. If you're a man, show up at 6 a.m. I promise you, some of the most incredible men show up Tuesday at 6 a.m. If you're a woman, it's Thursday at 7. Why don't we start there? That's why we have connect groups. That's why we have Sunday services. Just you hanging out long enough, someone's, you know, it's like, hey. This is honestly the friendliest church. The first, like, couple weeks, my face was sore. You know, honestly, I had masseter muscles. These are muscles right here in my jaw. I thought I had TMJ. No, it was from smiling at everybody, smiling at me. It was a little bit annoying. I was like, man, I got to rub my jaw. I need a day of rest just from smiling. It's like, you know, you do too many abs, and then the next day, you're like, oh, I sneezed, that really hurt. It must be from that ab workout. I know you can't tell. Whatever, some of the friendliest people in church. What else? Well, you can take go, grow, connect, serve, lead. We put on some of the greatest classes to get plugged in. How do you get plugged in? You take one of those. You join a connect group. All these things, the church sets you up to win. Right out of this word, what do? You get connected. Number five, he adjusted his attitude. I don't know. Take every thought captive. Sometimes we just got too many negative thoughts. He had this negative thought. I was like, I'm the only one. No, God has 6,999 others that are waiting for you. Elijah, get over yourself. You're not the only one. Don't be a victim. God had to call him out. Don't be a victim. Suck it up. Probably gave him a straw. He returned to service, the last one. Serving, finding purpose, your mission, just start serving. If you don't have a vision, you serve another man or woman's vision, God's gonna give you your own. But just serve someone else's so God can open the door for you. In 1 Kings 19, in chapter 19, verses 15 and 19, he got renewed physically, spiritually, relationally, mentally, and emotionally. And then he went back to service. And in his service, he found further healing. How many know there's no ceiling on what God can do in your life? So just start serving in the house, and you don't have to say, well, I don't know about that. I'm just checking church out. Well, good. Just start doing something. Just start grabbing the plow and watch what God can do in your life. Talents that you never knew were on the inside of you will come to life. You know, as I end, I just want to leave on this note. I read about this monastery in Portugal, and it was perched on a 3,000-foot high cliff. And to get to the monastery, visitors had to climb aboard a swaying basket that was pulled up the mountainside by several strong monks. This American tourist got in. He was quite nervous halfway up the cliff when he noticed that rope looked a little old and frayed. Trying to find comfort in his fears, he asked the attending monk, "How often do you replace the rope?" The monk replied, "Whenever it breaks." See, for some of you today, that rope's already broke. Some of you, that rope might be frayed. And some of you say, my rope's totally good. And I get that. But let this time be a time, whether it's broke, let God bring you back to wholeness. Whether it's frayed, let him restore that rope. And if you got a perfectly good rope, then let him strengthen it to be preventative, proactive, a light and salt in this crazy world. How many know that with God, it's a three-strand rope? Come on. How many know that? That God is giving us a rope that shouldn't look like this if you're in the house of the Lord. That if we're taking that time on a Sabbath to rest, to Selah, to breathe in his spirit, that your spirit needs to be refreshed so you can physically be refreshed. I could have talked all day long on the physicality. But remember, it's more than that. God says, renew your mind daily. Renew your spirit. Renew your body. And those of you today that don't know Jesus, I just want to give you a chance, because that's who you want to know. You know, he died on the cross for our sins. It's hard to be refreshed just in your own flesh. It's impossible. We're to be refreshed in the Lord. We're to be refreshed in his spirit. He took all away our sins. He also, you know, we took communion today. That blood, by his stripes were healed, the body which was broken, so we don't have to be broken. But he gives us principles, once we're healed, to walk that out. You know, I'm telling you, so many people are sitting there just doing life alone and burned out, and I want to encourage you today that you don't have to be that person. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, Benjamin Franklin, you know, he said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I find it funny. So many of the old greats that have all these amazing quotes got all their great material right out of the Word of God. I'm telling you, you don't have to go anywhere else. And I love personal development, but I don't want you to believe the lie that you just got to be strung out and burned out to make a difference in this world. But it starts with Jesus. So, listen, if you don't know Jesus, or you just say, God, I got to put you back in the center of my life to be refreshed, I'm just going to ask you right now to raise your hand so I can pray for you. That's you. I see your hand, sir. Thank you, Lord. I see your hand, young lady. Thank you, Lord. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you, young lady. Over here, I see your hand, sir. I love it. Anybody else that I could just pray for you? I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. One more time. Just if you raise your hand, let's lift it one more time so I can just make sure. I want to get everybody that I saw. Thank you. Over here, I saw three of you, four, five, six, seven, eight. Thank you, Lord. Nine. Great. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. And then for those of you that need to be refreshed, not just know Jesus, we're going to say that prayer in a moment together. But if you need to be refreshed this morning, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Just stand to your feet, those that need to be refreshed. We're going to wrap this service up right now. Right now, those of you that raised your hands, I'm going to make sure someone comes to you with a Bible. The Next Steps book written by our own Samuel Duth, Pastor Samuel, who's up preaching at another church right now. It's called Following Jesus. We're going to get you plugged in. Make sure you get us, you know, plugged in. You can come down to the front as well and meet this young man that's raising his hand up right here that has a book. So someone will come to you or come down, but we want to equip you with the tools that you're going to need to go the next step, to be refreshed. And those of you who are standing, I'm going to pray for you right now. Because listen, we can't do church. We can't take ground. We can't pray for the broken unless we're operating out of overflow. The greatest thing the devil can do is steal joy from you, get you burned out, because then you don't have anything to operate from. So we're gonna break that lie from the devil right now, and we're gonna pray as one church. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for everyone standing that needs just to be refreshed in you, Lord, that it needs to be refreshed in your spirit, Lord. God, I ask that your Holy Spirit just rest. Let them feel joy and peace. Let them sense your spirit moving on the inside of them right now. We block every lie from the devil. The lie that busy is better, we break that lie right now. And God, as we sit refreshed in that river, your spirit, God, is healing up every physicality that needs to be healed right now, from the mind to the body to the soul. We speak to every cell to be refreshed in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're building your church right now. God, that we can operate out of overflow to a lost generation and a lost world that needs to know who their Savior is, Lord. So God, we honor you this morning. God, we thank you for greater visions, God. Those things that you put on our heart a long time ago that we got so burned out that we shelled, Lord. We ask that you deposit them back in our spirit, God. That you give us a second wind to do the things that you've called us to do. Let us honor your word. Let us rest on the Sabbath, God. We give you honor today. And everybody said, amen. Church, there's nothing better than doing church with you. I can tell you that. Some of the greatest people I've ever met are right here in this house. If you raised your hand and you don't know Jesus, but you want to know, don't leave. Come down here, make sure someone gets to you, grab a Bible, grab a book. If you already have a Bible, put this one on eBay or give it to somebody else. We love you. Make sure at the doors we got, you can text to give, 855-405-8444, Harvey. And we're going to have people at the door if you want to donate. We want to make sure our church is donating $10,000. Everything you give above that is going 100% to the people in Texas so we can get them back on their feet. The church is the only boat floating. Love you guys. Take someone to lunch, and we'll see you tonight, 5 p.m.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.